You know, I'm going to take attendance today briefly, and then we'll...
Are they yours?
Yeah.
Michiel, how you doing?
I'm doing
good.
Yeah, they are. Seriously?
Daniel, Matt, where'd you go? Not here yet.
Are you seriously yours?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Jack Offer.
Blumenthal,
how you doing?
I know.
Jack Fine.
Yeah, the whole
shield
count.
I know.
How much is that PG? Give me like a slice.
Frank, I saw you.
Yeah,
can bring
the cookie
chain. Jacob Gassner.
Yeah, here.
How you doing, Jacob? Jeremy Goldstein.
Yeah,
how you doing, Jeremy?
Yeah,
Aaron Gordon. I saw him before. What do you
got? Come.
Well, who's listening
here? Rafi, I saw. Danny, I saw. David Silver. He's coming.
You want?
Hey. Ellis Bird.
That's
not pretty good.
Matt Chayek. Hey, Tom Weintraub, I saw. Daniel, how you doing?
All right.
Woody Dubin, how are you doing? Okay. And Jonathan, So I wanted to speak tonight about a major problem.
See?
I appreciate it. I'll give a zap of the rabbit and take a break. You're a guest. Okay. So I wanted to speak about a major topic tonight. An important one, I think. Which is, how do we have free choice if God knows the future? I know it's a topic many people have spoken about or heard about or thought about. I do think I have a few points that may be somewhat new, or at least new to the conversation, new to some people. But before I even discuss that, I wanted to talk about how do I know that both two things exist? Meaning, the problem is, there seems to be a contradiction, because if God knows the future, I shouldn't have free choice to do it. And if I have free choice to do it, well, then God should know what that's going to be. In other words, if it's predetermined, I should have the ability to determine it. And if I can determine it, well, then it means it wasn't really predetermined. That's the essential formulation, I think, the standard formulation of the question. And therefore, what I'd like to do is, before I even move on, I'd like to strengthen the validity of each of the two assumptions. Meaning, is it really true we have free choice? Is it really true God knows the future? Who told us we have free choice? Where does that come from? If I had to throw that question out to the audience to prove to me that you had free choice, how do you know you have free choice? What do you got?
Well, if you offer me an ending, I can say yes or no.
That really isn't the proof, right? That's like maybe a description of a proof or an example of a proof.
No, I can say yes.
You can do it or you
want. I have free choice. I'm free to say yes, I would like that candy and I'll eat it. Or I have the choice to say no.
But maybe God is making
so
you say
really,
no.
So I really, really what you mean to say, and
your correct is
wrong. The best way that I or anyone knows that they have free choice, the best way I or anyone knows that they have free choice, Jeremy, for example, knows he has free choice, it just feels like he does. Now, that's not really a proof. It's just a feeling, but it is relatively convincing for many people. I'll take all your questions in a second. Many people really believe that they have free choice, and their best proof is, it feels like I do. I'm about to touch my kippah. I just did. Now, I'd have felt very, very silly if I tried my best and I just couldn't have done it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd have been really embarrassed. I got 15, 20 guys in the room who all expect me to touch my keeper. That's not such a difficult task. It'd be extremely embarrassing. How was I so confident that I'd be able to do so? The answer is, everything I've ever tried all of my life until now that was reasonable, I was able to. It just feels like everything I tried to do, I'll be able to do as well. I don't know if that's a proof I have free choice, but it definitely is, relatively speaking, a strong argument. I think it convinces most people. Most people in the world, I believe, they believe, have free choice because of an intuitive feeling, intuition. Just, that's what it feels like to me. Before we move on to the other proofs that free choice exists, there were three or four hands up. Let's just take them slowly. One, two, three. One, four.
Isn't there also like another proof?
Hold on. Two.
You can't have all of them above your name.
Hold on. Three.
No, it's
But you guys are doing great stuff. I just want to work with one before I move on to two and three. Yeah.
Can you say that it's stronger than just saying feeling, because you don't, if in an example where you don't feel particularly compelled to do either choice, you have to put in plan A and plan B, you don't feel particularly compelled, so you want to be able to have proof in itself, that you don't feel bent down in any sort of need to do this or not.
If I wanted to argue, I have no free choice. How would you?
No,
I don't. I don't have free choice. Prove me that. Give me a logic to prove the opposite.
Because you have the option right now.
No, I don't. That's why it's not a proof. That's why it's not a proof, I think. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a proof. It could be that you feel you do, but you really don't. It could be God put a bug in your head that makes you feel you think you do. In other words, it's not really a logical proof. It's just the feeling that most people subscribe to.
How else can you base a proof if not the feeling? Like, what else are you going to base it on? What are your other choices? Everything has to be based on you feeling.
But we'll see the other two. The other two are slightly different from this. It could be, you want to know what? Maybe, in other words, the proof can't be the assumption. It can't just be, I'll prove to you I exist. You know how I know? Because here I am.
Maybe you just think you're here.
Right. That's why it's not a proof. That's why it's not a proof.
If the proof is based on an assumption.
Okay, but this, the proof is the assumption. I think it's relative. I believe it's very convincing, so much so that most of the world believes
it's not based on assumption, because let's say, for what Jared said before, with yes or no being the candy, that can be the proof, and the assumption.
That's the solution to the problem. If you think it's the proof, I'm willing to sell for that, and there'll just be holes in the proof. It's a semantic. I think it's relatively convincing. You call it proof, we'll call it proof.
No, I'm not calling it proof. I'm just saying that every proof has to have assumption.
I agree. If not most. Yeah?
Define free choice.
The ability to choose between several different options, you know.
I'm on fire right now. I can't
do that. Right, well, I didn't say all options. I said several different options. Right, something art. Right, I don't mean, right, I agree with you.
What do you mean by free choice? I mean, there's plenty of things in this world I want to do, and.
Right, I think I try my best to circumvent the problem, and you pointed out anyway, and I still think I'm standing stronger in the point, which is the ability to choose between, I guess, normative, possible behaviors, possible things we do every day. You're right, I can't fly, I can't turn myself into a car. I can't wrap my leg around my head 14 times. These are like neat things to do, you know. And if I could do that, like, that'd be much more interesting than the best I have to give. But like, what can I do? The best I can do is give this class.
Well, then free choice, like, to turn the car, or you want to car me out of gas, just break down.
I agree. People are not.
The only way was that free choice. You're right.
There are definitely restrictions and limitations to our free choice, and that's the rest of the world around us. You know, there's all sorts of laws of gravity and of physics and of and other people's desires. Yeah, I guess so. There are all sorts of things that can limit our free choice. I don't think we have an unlimited free choice, but I do think we have, on some level, somewhere.
Free choice is some little level of a boundary to be able to do a little bit.
I'm not sure it has to be little, but it's something. It doesn't have to be unlimited. Exactly how big it is, I guess, you can debate, but I'm not sure how important that is. Yeah.
Why does God limit free choice?
I'm not sure he does. Hold on. Yeah.
I understand it.
Reason proof number two?
Like, proof that we have free choice is because first off, Hashem gave us free choice for a reason. Like, you picked a certain type of
people. Can't use a proof that we have free choice is that Hashem gave it to us.
No, but I was going to say something else. Like, the fact that we have, let's say we had a choice to come on Kol, that's free choice also, but we also have on Kol, we have four options, four Teolim options. So we have free choice in order what we want to pick.
What a program, right?
So therefore we have free choice based on what.
You guys should know there are other guys who are not learning Torah in the summer. That they tell you every four times a day, right? You're right, it feels like we have free choice. Continue, I agree, yeah.
God gave us the Torah. What's the point of giving us the Torah and telling us? What's the point of telling us what to do if we can't even choose what we can?
Tell proof, though.
You're close enough that I'll give you credit for it. I know Raph didn't want to. Raph is more of a critic than I am. In any event, I think what you're saying is, maybe a little bit of a stretch, but I think what you're getting at is that there are certain things that in the Torah I'm not really sure what you're getting at. I feel like you said anyway. You were saying it before. There are certain the fact that God gave us a Torah means he gives us certain expectations. So, what you said before was better. Schar v'onesh. The fact that God will reward us and punish us based upon our action seems to indicate that what? That we have the ability, that we are in control of them. It seemingly would be unjust and unfair for God to force me to do a particular act and then punish me for doing that. It seems to be unfair for God to force me to do a particular act and then give me unlimited reward while he forces me something much less good, and no one liked that picture anyway. Point is that schar v'onesh seems to be predicated on the assumption, Jem, you with us? On the assumption that there is free choice. God gives us the ability to choose certain things and punishes us and rewards us based upon our choice. It'd be very difficult to argue that God is just, yet punishes and rewards us based upon things that are beyond our free choice. That, I think, is a relatively big
proof.
Do I think it's proof? Judaism seems to indicate that schar v'onesh exists. Therefore, Judaism believes in free choice. Anyone who believes schar v'onesh exists most likely would conclude, unless they believe God is unfair and unjust, which I think is a more difficult conclusion, the more likely conclusion is we have free choice. And therefore, is it a black on white on this field proof? No, but I think it's relatively speaking pretty safe.
Maybe it's just your
feeling.
One, two,
yeah. What?
So maybe just your feeling that...
That is a better response to the feeling argument. This is a logical proof. Good or not, but some type of logical proof.
Maybe you feel that by what you're doing, you're rewarded for, and by what you do...
That'd be true if you would have innovated the idea of free choice. But being that it's Pesukim in Torah, Kriyat Shema articulates this idea very clearly. If you behave well, you'll get the following. If you don't, the following. In B'chukos HaTeleicha, which is so said to Shmeru, then the following will happen. But if not, then the following punishments and Tochachas and throughout Nevi'im and throughout Mamre Chazal. It's not really debatable that Judaism believes in Schar V'onesh. I don't think anyone would deny that. Yeah, what's up? No dice. No good. Okay. Argument number three that we have free choice, I think, is that the Torah seems to indicate that we do. Is that a hand or no? Oh, you're playing with a bottle. The bottle is behind his head. I just see like fingers like popping up and down. You see why I flagged you? I'm saying it wasn't, you know. In any event, Judaism seems to have, the Torah seems to have soaking. If you choose the following acts, well then the following conclusions will follow them. So he's following so much. In b'chukos ha'teleichu v'tzmitzvos ha'teshmaru v'asisem osam, then you'll get mitzvahs. Then you'll get rewards. But if not, not. Choose wisely. U'v'charta b'chayim. Choose wisely. Speeches of Moshe and Pesukim in the Torah seem to indicate that. The Torah is telling us how to choose. Now the only reason why, at first glance, the Torah would tell me how to choose, or could tell me how to choose, is if I can choose. If I couldn't choose in the first place, well, what is the Torah trying to do by telling me how to choose? It's nonsense. Poor advice. And therefore, I think based on those three arguments, one would safely believe that we have free choice. Number one, it feels like we have free choice, like Jeremy said. Number two, Frankel alluded to, which is schar v'onesh. And number three, which is a pesukim that's say so. Okay, so maybe God... Now, does God know the future? How do I know God knows the future? Yeah, what's up, Jeremy? Yechiel?
I was just about to ask that. What's the point of the free choice that God knows what we're going to make?
We're getting there. That's a major question. First, I want to prove both sides. So this way you don't want to reject either one of them, but you realize the strength of the question. How do I know God knows the future? Maybe God doesn't. Yeah?
Because one of the things that we say how he exists is because he's not bound by time. So if he's not bound by time, that's sort of what it is. It's sort of like...
Yeah, I would say so. Most likely, if God is unlimited and knowing all, if God is really omniscious, right. Well then, included in the category of knowing everything would be knowing the future. And therefore, most people would probably argue God knows the future, otherwise that's a very strong limitation on God. That's major argument number one. Yeah, one, two, three, one.
So God created everything. God created time. God created everything. Like, if someone creates dimension, things can go wrong.
Did God create the future yet?
No.
Well, there's no future.
He knows it. There's like when they set up, when scientists have to make something. So things go wrong in the experiment, but there's a factor that you know about. God knows every single little detail.
Right. I agree with you, but that's because he knows, not... That is because he knows the future, not necessarily because he created it. In other words, God just knows everything, so he knows the future.
He knows the future because also he knows what I'm going to do because he created those thoughts which are in my brain, which...
I hear what you're saying. I would prefer to say God sees the future the same way he sees the past. God knows the future. God's aware of the future. Although what you're saying is going to be, when we get back to it, we get to the sheet of the Ram. It's just a few more questions. Who was two and who was three? Who was two?
Two more.
Yeah, go, two.
Another reason is simply because the word of the being has...
Yeah. Good, I think so as well. God told Levim, here, I'm telling you the future. Seemingly, it'd be a very poor thought out move by God to just have guessed arbitrarily as to what the future will bring and tell Levim, because when nothing comes true what God said, people will be very disappointed. God told Levim, if you continue to misbehave, be destruction based in English. God told Levim, if you do the following thing, then the next thing will come. And therefore, seemingly, that would rely on the assumption that God indeed does know what's going on in the future. Yeah.
When you just said kind of like, here's the point I'm going to make, is that
great.
He knows the future of the choices that we make. Is that like...
You're trying to answer the question. I don't want that just yet. Slow down. You may be right. You may not be right. I'm saying, before we get to the... In other words, I want to first establish, A, we have free choice. B, God knows the future. Then, now those two ideas seem to conflict with each other. We have to resolve it. We'll get to the resolution in a minute. We won't let you talk, hopefully. But yeah, yeah.
How can God know the future without creating?
How can God know the future without creating? I'm not sure if God created the future or not, to be honest with you. If the answer to the question is yes, well then he did create it. If the answer to the question is no, well somehow he has some type of foresight over it anyway. That'd probably be the answer.
Yeah. Foresight over nothing. Yeah, no future.
Something like that.
That's what happened to
David. Just like, meaning, the same way, I'm not sure it's the same way, but maybe it's the same way. Even though the past is not in existence right now, just like the future is not, God is fully aware of the past. So to the future is not in existence now, God is fully aware of the future. I would say something along those lines.
Right, but he didn't create the past.
Well, I hear. But I think what I was going to say is, nonetheless, good enough for now, and we get to the answer, we'll try to do a little more. Yeah, Wayne Traub, Morty, right?
Yeah.
And then Gordon, Karen, the third. Yeah.
So if we say that we have free will, then, and we're able to think what we want, then is God able to see what we're thinking?
Yes. God's able to see what we're thinking, yes. Know what we're thinking. We say the Yom Narayim Davening, we believe God knows everything, part of knowing everything, knowing what we're thinking. Yeah.
Just an answer to that. Maybe he could know without creating it, because since he knows everything that's happened, everything that's going on right now, just by knowing everything, he knows what will happen without actually dictating that it will happen.
You're answering the question also. Hold off. We'll get to it. We're trying to get to the answers today.
We're addressing like the future, but like even in the present, so to speak, I have trouble finding an extreme of either. I only see extremes. Either it's the idea of like predestination as one extreme, and the other extreme, totally free world. It's just going to work out. And eventually, for example, from a Jewish perspective, Mashiach will arrive, however he makes it will, if it needs to come by him, and perhaps achieving it, fine. But in terms of the present, how can there be any shade of gray? Because I find trouble believing, we ask all the time, help me get this promotion, help me get these things and that thing. To demonstrate it really quickly, I remember in seventh grade, it's a very stupid and silly story, but I remember praying for...
Raise your hand if you want to hear a stupid and silly story. You shouldn't even feel bad.
So in seventh grade, I remember asking, okay, so I want this girl X to like me, but at the same time, I don't want it to be natural. I don't want you to put it in your head to like me, so if you can work that out...
It's like the genie from Aladdin.
I'd appreciate it, God, if you could just make it natural. I don't want it to be like, you know, a hypnosis thing, but... So my point is that, like, in general, with anything in life, if we're asking anything at all that pertains to another person, it seems as if we're actually asking for an intervention.
The truth is, in terms of how tefillah fits into this whole topic, it's a fascinating kind of discussion. I would like to discuss it, hopefully, at some point in time. I don't know if we get to this stuff tonight. I think we got our plate full. Your question is really more to the tefillah thing, which again is definitely an integral part of this, but I'm going to deal with it separately, even though even though it was a relevant enough question that makes it a good one. If you really want me to talk about it more afterwards, at the end after Mara will come talk more. Last two. One, two, wait, Chab, go.
Here's another question. If God knows what we're thinking, how can we have our own opinions? We know that God knows what we're thinking, we never think we're wrong.
God can know them, yet we can have our own opinions. The question of God had seen them coming, are they our opinions? Which is really the same question we're asking, except for you took out the word actions, you put in thoughts. Right? In other words, how can I do my own actions if God had foreseen them? Or if they're predetermined, how can I determine them myself? And that's a great question, whether that's actions or thoughts. Yeah, that's what we're trying to answer tonight. Yeah.
I've heard that, reason that it's we have our opinion that it's future, that's if you give a kid candy.
You want to give an answer, Ed?
No, I have a question on this answer that was given to me.
We didn't give any answers yet.
Fifth grade.
Hold on.
Yes.
We'll probably get that.
We'll try
our best to. We'll try our best. I'm just going to ask you two.
What is it?
Daddy, I'm going to get to the candy marshal, and I'm going to try my best to let you ask you. I'll try my best to let you answer your question.
Why did I ask you one?
Okay.
I
would like to discuss four major answers, three of which I have. In the first, you describe it, one of which I was told, I never saw it inside, is the Baal Tanya. If I'm wrong, Mechilas, Kvod, HaBaal Tanya, and anyone else who's listening to the shiur. The first answer is that of the Ralbag. The Ralbag is a blowaway. The Ralbag is mamish, it's a little wild. And when I asked my Tversky, here from the Kol, if I was allowed to believe it, he told me no. I asked if it's clear, he said yes. I said, was it Ralbag or Kofar? He told me no. I asked him what's the difference. He stood there silently for about 90 seconds or so, which made me feel very awkward and intimidated. I just kind of smiled and walked away. That was my first interaction with Kratorsky, but it's an unbelievable Ralbag. It's a blowaway, but just got to be careful with it because Kratorsky doesn't want you believing it. The Ralbag writes that there are different types of hashkacha. There's hashkacha klalus and hashkacha pratus. Hashkacha klalus means long-term major events. Hashkacha pratit means small detail things. What color socks you're going to wear tomorrow is hashkacha pratit. Whether or not Iran will nuke Israel, or Israel will nuke Iran, or whether any of those options exist, or when Mashiach will come, or 100 years ago, having predicted the Holocaust and or World War II, etc., etc. That's much more like a klali large thing. Argues the Ralbag, God only is aware of major world events, not minor ones. Meaning, God has no clue what colored clothes you're going to wear tomorrow. God has no idea if you're going to trip on your shoes and hit a wall. God has no idea what you're going to do tomorrow, unless it's a major event. Now, the Ralbag doesn't go through every single detail and tell you how you know if it's major or minor. But still, there's a blowaway. An unbelievable blow. You see how perturbed the Ralbag was with this problem that he gave such an answer. The Ralbag wrote a book called Melchemes Hashem. It's printed there in the third shaylach, I think, if I'm not mistaken. There are two major soft spots with this Ralbag's answer. Two major soft spots. I don't call them problems, because, a small little person over here in the shadow of the Ralbag. But there are two major soft spots with the Ralbag. What are they?
Well, first of all, the last one of Shila, and Shila is usually just about little things that nobody knows about, and they're not more events.
So you're right. I think there's a... Well, I'll try to get back to that in a second. Let me get to this.
You know, one person...
What is the major... You're right, there's a glaring problem, which is so shocking, I'm surprised you didn't say, which is?
Can you say I should have
known? It's an unbelievably large limitation of God. Does God know everything? The answer is no. That's what Ralbag says. He knows some things. There is a second point worthwhile noting in the Ralbag, which is, does man have unlimited free choice? No. Man has enough free choice that he does certain things, but at the end of the day, certain world events have to occur. And any decision that you could make that would prevent that world event from occurring, you can't do.
Cannot.
In other words, what the Ralbag does is limit free choice as well as God's knowledge of the future. And we live in a world where everything got, you're correct me kind of, correct me kind. the extremes, neither one is correct. God, you know, that's what the Rabbah's assumptions are based upon. It's an unbelievable shita. You can see Rabbi Tversky was hesitant about allowing people to walk away with this in their, you know, forefront of their mind. Just to do one small defense to the Rabbah, and I'll take all your questions. Or at least a lot of them. The Rabbah, I think, believes it's not that Hashem couldn't see the future, but probably he believes that he was mitzamtzem, restricted, withheld, you know, his ability to see the future. It's not that God is, yeah. In other words, God wanted us to have free choice, was aware of this logical conflict. I was looking for, but contradiction was good enough also. Was aware of this logical conflict and chose to resolve in such a manner. He could have chosen a different way potentially. He could have given us no free choice. I don't know what. He could have known the future. He somehow, I guess, Lamashal blindfolded himself to it, and therefore we have free choice. That's what the Rabbah suggests. So, let's take around the questions. I'll give the other three. I'll give the other three sheets. 1, 2, 3, 4. One.
Rabbi, what do you got? If God wanted to know when you were going to put on for
sex, he could allow himself to know, but somehow he doesn't. Yeah.
Okay. Two quick points. So you're saying that Hitler, Lamashal, had to have his paintings like in Europe and Austria in order so that even though that's a
minor, I'm not sure if that particular detail led to it, but potentially yes. Potentially his pictures, people had, in other words, there was a lack of free choice with, let's just say, Paro and Mitzrayim of not letting the Jews go in order that there should be a super exodus. God restricted certain men's free choice. Could be Hitler had the same free choice restricted? I really don't know.
Right, okay, and that leads to another question that I wasn't even thinking of. so we're saying that those five Makot cap, or what was it, 5, 7, whatever the Makot cap was, where Paro had free choice?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7, yeah.
Yeah. So that wasn't really free choice then, because God wanted super exodus.
I'm not sure exactly what the Rabbah would say about each of the different Makos. I don't remember discussing it, although I looked at it a few years ago, to be honest with you. 7 years ago. So I can't tell you what the Rabbah would say, but I could imagine this approach saying that the first time he had free choice, then God took it away. Really, he didn't have it all. Really, he had more different levels. I mean, according to the Rabbah, the best Pshat in the Chumash was, yeah, God gave him free choice sometimes, and took away his free choice sometimes. That's what God always does.
And also, we learned today in morning shiur, everyone that's in Rabbi Schneider's shiur, that each action a person has leads to many other, I guess, ripple effect.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Right, so isn't that constitute a major action?
Exactly how God figured out how to restrict his own knowledge. I'm not sure if he held with it. In other words, your point is, well, if A is going to lead to B, well, if God withheld himself from knowledge of A, how was he aware of B? And if he was aware of B, he should be able to look back and figure out the cause. Apparently, he was not just blindfolding himself to A, but withholding himself to the logical progress between A and B as well. You follow that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would this have to force him allowed to have to hold that in our conversation about whether or not Hashem will limit himself?
See, I thought about that also. I'm not sure. It could just be once he created the world with the laws of logic, he wanted to stick with them, and therefore only in this specific world is he forced to stick with the laws of logic. Being there's a logical conflict, yeah, in other words, he withhold himself. I don't think he could be machmir. I thought at first, like you all said, it seems like it's the Rambam, that's a logical conflict, he had no other way of doing it. No, it could be there was no way of doing it, he just chose not to. It could be in this world, there's no answer to that question, yet in a different realm or world or galaxy, who knows what there is an answer. Same thing over here also. It could be some other creature out there which has full free choice and God has full awareness of the future, and God chose for some reason to make the world. I don't know. Could be.
And secondly, this Kalman Shalom says it just based on what he said. Would it imply that, let's say, Hashem out of the supposed Holocaust, there's a certain, not necessarily that, is it that Hashem necessarily wanted 6 million Jews dying in the Holocaust the way it happened? Or was there like a message that Hashem wanted to convey, and due to the choices made by people, that it came out through the Holocaust?
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. I can see the one.
That's only if you hold it above.
Yeah, a question about what we, I don't know. Yeah.
So in the fact that God doesn't know
minor details result is that minor details will always lead to a major detail, so that's also a problem.
That's, I think, what Eli the Rapha forgot. The answer is God not only blindfolded himself to the minor details, but he blindfolded himself to the linkage and the causation of one to the next.
And also, isn't that a scary thought that God will feel those things will happen?
Could be. Could be. In terms of tefillah, that's what you were. In terms of tefillah, yeah, you know, I'm not sure how much. Just because God can't predict the future doesn't mean he doesn't help influence it anyway, and therefore prayer still would have meaning, I think. I'll move on. I know there's a lot of questions. I'm going to move on to the Ran, and then I'll let you guys come over after me afterwards or something like that. The Ran, I think it's kind of the Drush's Ran, if I'm not mistaken. The Ran says, essentially, the candy marshal. If I would say to you, I don't know.
I like
go for it, Jeremy. You want $1 million?
Sure.
You want a candy?
Yeah.
I knew he was going to say yes to both of those, right? How do I know? He could have surprised me, but I'm a good enough psychologist to put two and two together and get four. Right? In other words, I'm a good enough psychologist that if I don't want, there was a chance that Donnie over here had seen this candy mushroom coming up and $1 million thing questioned up, and he would have walked over and said to anyone who says no to my horns candy, I'll give him 2 candies. Anyone who says no to my horns $1 million, I'll give him $2 million. In which case, I'd have walked out, again, feeling very silly. I was 99.9% sure you didn't do that, Donnie. Turns out I was right. And therefore, my prediction was correct. Now, did I have any influence over his decision? The answer is no. And that is essentially the first step of the Ran. In order to fully get the Ran, we have to rip it apart and we're going to rebuild it. What is the major problem with that?
Don? I don't know, maybe he might have
heard
some guy, he said,
correct.
Money's bad.
At the end of the day, if this is really correct, the Ran's understanding of God's perspective of the future
is God
just a better psychologist than I am? At the end of the day, God has a human perspective of the future, just a very good one.
Is God,
if
you ever do something and God like blown away, whoa, didn't expect him to do that.
The answer is according to the
Ron. The answer is that God's there with his money thing.
I mean, same thing also. God could be surprised by future things. That's really your question, yes. Ron, right? I think the answer is
emotional. That's emotional.
It's a great question. I think the answer is as follows.
That's inferring that you.
There's a difference between the way man sees the future and God. Meaning, God is fully aware of your nature. God is fully aware of your nurture. God is fully aware of how the weather is going to impact. What's the weather going to be like tomorrow? As well as a person with your psychological makeup will be impacted by a rainy day in the middle of summer in Israel. People who have a tendency to get upset will get upset. God's fully aware of all the different cheshbonos. He lays out an infinite amount of possibilities and figures them all out, and therefore God can predict the future much better than I predicted the Jeremy Lollipop money question. God is infinitely better of a psychologist than I am. However, there still is, and therefore you've defended the Ron. However, there still is a soft spot, which is, at the end of the day, God still sees the future the way man does, just slightly better.
Or
God may be always right, but he doesn't see the future the same way he saw the past. You can say, Ha Yehovah V'Yihyeh isn't really the same. Ha Yehovah and Yihyeh are not the same. God sees the future far less clearly than he sees the past, according to the Ran, and that's seemingly a big problem on some level.
But then you're inferring that Hashem may not know what might happen.
God will know, he just doesn't see it. He will know it, but not see it.
So because God knows every little single detail.
Correct.
Which with you, the $1 million, you don't know every single thing.
Right, exactly, that's the difference. Yeah.
There's another problem also. This seems to limit our free choice.
Why?
Because we have a concept that for every test we have, we have the ability to overcome it, right?
Okay, maybe. Let's just say.
Okay, so now, if God knows that we're not going to overcome this test, because he knows he's the perfect psychologist, then he shouldn't have given this test us in the first place.
Unless there's some advantage of you failing. Or God has to give you a chance anyway because for some reason failing will enable some future, some other.
How can you be punished for that failure?
Just because you can pass doesn't mean you will. God has to give you the opportunity to do so, even though you will or will not. Right? Meaning, God doesn't, God, as long as God wants to allow you to pass or allow you to fail, here he's not causing you to pass or fail, he's allowing you, he just happens to know that.
But how do you give you a test that he knows you're going to fail? He knows that you're going to fail this test.
Right, so it goes back that you
he gives you a test that he knows that you're going
to fail. Let me take a step back. If you wouldn't have learned like the Rambam, you'd have just thought God saw the future, the question would be even stronger, right?
Yeah.
You're right. At the end of the day, God is willing to give you tests that he knows you will fail, even though you will fail them, because
you could pass them.
Because there's some good reason to do so. Either you fail, in other words, either because it has an impact on the other part of the world, or because God has given you free choice. And part of giving you free choice means knowing you're going to fail and allowing you to fail anyway. Once in a while, I know my son, Lamosha, it's much different. My son's going to probably mess up, like for example, today. My daughter wanted to push the stroller today. She's a year and a half, she's 2 years old, and she's pushing my little baby daughter who's 3 months old. So when we got to the hill, she had no eyes, 100% sure we were going to. We sat there by the hill for about 8 or 9 minutes, she's a very determined girl. She kept on trying to push up the stroller until finally said, "Abba, can you please help?" Why did I let her fail? Partially because I wanted her to learn, partially because like you have to give kids free choice at some level, you know?
So they can't punish her for not being able to push the stroller.
It's not true. Well, that was different than the failure. In other words, that was not something, you know, that's something she could not have done. Sometimes I let her fail even if I don't know what she's going to do, where she could pass. Even if I do know, and she could pass, let her fail anyway. That's, I guess, the best answer I got. I bet your point's a fair one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It always has a possibility that we can pass.
There's always a possibility it just happens to be God. In other words, it could, again, there is a small chance, and one out of who knows how great that God added up the math wrong, being that it's not the pass, and got, you know, came with the wrong conclusion. But I don't think that's going to happen, because God is the perfect psychologist, not just a good one. But again, the point is that, you know, God is predicting and not foreseeing, not predetermining. Yeah.
I also heard somewhere about a psychology thing. There's a psychologist in like Florida that he was with the same mental patients since they were like 5 years old. And like by the time they were 30, like he knew exactly what they were gonna do just because he witnessed them the whole time. So it's the same thing that they
God is still infinitely better than this guy, but point well taken. Yeah, exactly. The people you know better, you can know how they're gonna react to certain things. The guy knows everyone better. Yeah, last thing we got. Yeah, quickly, what do you got?
Okay, but it contradicts Skarbonish, because if everything you do is based on that.
That really wasn't clear with that. It's Skarbonish, yeah.
Because according to this, has God no? Because your mindset is
not. I don't think so. I think it's exactly what's great with Skarbonish. You fail on your own. You had the choice then, the opportunity, and the ability, and you chose not to.
Well, no, but why didn't you choose? How did God know that you're going to fail? Because he knows your mind is worse.
So you should make
your mind work. So as a psychologist, he knows where your mind is going
to
work.
You have enough control of your mind to make it work better. You have enough control of your mind to make it work better.
But then God wouldn't.
God would know how strong you are, how lazy you are, what type of person you are. And, you know, in a hypothetical world, you could surprise God, but God would have seen it coming also. And therefore, you know, that's good. In other words, your question is a fantastic question, assuming God had foreseen the future, was predetermined. This is not predetermined. God just predicted.
No, but that's exactly what I'm saying. But if he's predicting, what is always right, based on your mindset, and now it seems
he's
like
that's only right. He's not intrinsically always right. He's not always right to the point where you lose free choice. He's always right just because he happens to know. So just like I know, you're going to walk tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I didn't force that. If you do, you're still making the free choice to go.
Yeah.
And therefore you're still getting scar, and therefore you're still getting the mitzvah. But you chose to do it, you deserve this scar. Just because I'm aware of a certain fact doesn't belittle your act.
Right, but like what I'm saying is let's say I tell you, okay, go there or else I'm going to shoot you. You pretty much have to do that. If your mind says you're
going to do that's not doing.
You have free choice, just there are consequences. I got to move on to number 3. We'll talk about it more. Frank, if you almost said it afterwards. Aaron, I feel bad. Equally. Although he might have held up twice just now. But I got to move on to the last 2 answers, otherwise we're not going to finish. And I'd like to. I've heard the following answer suggested in the name of the Baal Tanya. I don't know if the Baal Tanya was said, but this is the answer that I had a roommate who used to believe. I thought this was crazy, but he liked it a lot. And this is what people say a lot, but I just, you know, this may be where people fight. These people like to fight with me on this one, so we'll see if people want to fight. I'll give you a few minutes to fight, but I got to get to the Rambam also, and then to the summary. Just because I have free choice doesn't mean that God doesn't predetermine the future. They both coexist. Simultaneously, as people like to say. God, if I choose X, God was aware I was going to choose X. If I chose Y, God was aware I was going to choose Y. And therefore, like, that kind of solves the problem. That's what people say. That's like the formulation. I'm just repeating it. I don't understand it. Anyone understand this? Well, because God, according to the Ron, God didn't really see it. God was just predicting it. Here, God really sees it. You understand that? Good. Please explain it to everyone, because I don't understand that. I just repeat it over. Hang on. He's going
to
explain it.
You always have the ability to make a... You have the ability to do right or wrong. You always... God gives you the test. He knows that you have the ability to do right or wrong. Right?
Yeah.
And then, no matter what you do, he's like a... He's on the sidelines. He's not affecting your...
Yeah, this is exactly what people talk about. The sidelines, above time, these types of things, is what everyone always says. I don't understand. That's my problem with it.
Okay.
Wherever God is, whether he's above or not, are my actions predetermined are my actions predetermined?
He knows what you're going to do. He's like, yeah.
Okay. Can I determine that myself?
No.
You have already.
What's that? If the answer is no...
You know you already determined that.
Hang on. Yeah. And you just backtracked off your answer, because... In other words,
he knows what you're going to do because he's perfect.
Can I determine them?
No.
Then I lost my free choice.
No, you have the ability to make a choice.
Well, then, are they predetermined?
Yeah.
If they're predetermined and they're also not predetermined, that's where I get stuck. And just because God's out there doesn't make the calculation any less. Meaning,
no, he's saying that you determine.
What's relevant is not per se where God is, but whether or not my actions can be. If I would ask God to write down tomorrow whether or not I'm going to come on time or late, will God accurately write it down right now?
Yeah.
Is there any chance I'll do anything but what he wrote down?
Yes.
Well, yes. Now you know
what?
You have the ability to do whatever you want.
And surprise him?
He knows what you're
going to
do.
I know that. He's going to write it down. He's going to write down. Here's what everyone likes to fight. I'll go for another 2-3 minutes and I'll try to move on. Everyone loves to fight. I don't understand it. If God wrote down X, and X is written and it's put in a sealed safe and no one's going to change it, including God, is there any chance of me disobeying what that paper says?
Just say yes.
What's the answer? Yes?
I can't coexist.
I'm not asking if they can't coexist. I'm asking you, is there any chance of me disobeying that paper? The answer is either no. Well, once I'm not disobeying it, although I may not be aware of what's written on that paper, isn't my free choice limited to do exactly what's on that paper? I think the answer is yes. I will have to follow that. Nonetheless, my roommate argued, I was hurt, he told me about that, I'm not sure. Nonetheless, every time I follow those rules, although I'm unaware of them, I am making the choice, and therefore I can get punished. However, my free choice is only to choose X and not to choose X or Y. I just didn't know that. Since I didn't know, I made the choice anyway, and therefore it's fair to get punished. However, I really didn't have... What does free choice mean according to this? It means the choice to choose whatever was predetermined for you.
But you're unaware of it.
Now, being that I was unaware of it, somehow minimizes the problem of Skar V'Onesh, kind of. I'm not sure it really does. But this is a very limited definition of free choice, meaning it's no longer what Donnie was talking about, that I couldn't do an infinite amount of possibilities. Here I can even do two things. All I can do is what says on that paper. Who else
maybe
wants to
say? Maybe that paper isn't a sealed paper. Maybe that paper is
written blank. Well, that
has 100 choices.
Now you're back to the round where God isn't sure anymore. If God is definitive on that paper, and again, the paper is reflective of God's knowledge. If it's a million choices, now back to the round, God doesn't make a prediction. If God is 100% sure, then there's one thing written on that paper. Unless I'm missing something. Raph, you want to defend this. You're backing off also. Donnie, what do you want to say?
Okay, because you're a human, you're not in the future. That is how you have free choice. Because you do not know what's on that piece of paper, you
sell. Right, that's what I say. I was heard again, maybe about that. That's what I'm suggesting is option three, which is, I am choosing to do whatever's on that paper, and can I do anything else but that paper? No, yet nonetheless I choose it.
Because you choose that,
because that's what you choose, that's what's going to happen. Even though it was already determined on a piece of paper, therefore that but it already was already known, but
it's
still
just,
you chose
right.
Piece
it's
paper.
Just surprising.
And you didn't know you didn't choose
right.
anything else.
The downside
because you don't know what's going to happen before you chose.
I'm with you. I appreciate the little dance also. The downside is that there's only one real choice, and all the arguments that led us to concluding that I opened the shiur with, the three arguments that led me to believe I have free choice, all went out the window. Number one, it felt like I could do X or Y. That's not really true anymore. All
okay,
I can
so
do is X. It just feels
it
that way. Hang on. Right? Number two, the Torah said I get schar v'onesh. Is it really fair to punish me for something that even though I felt like I could do, I really couldn't do anything but? A little less fair. And number three, the Torah says stuff like, Bachar ta b'chayim. That's not my choice. I can't do that. That's just like, I know the Torah's talking to. And therefore, all three reasons why we thought we had free choice, we're all lost with this new definition of free choice. So I'm not sure how much you gain by suggesting this third approach. One, two, and then moving on. One.
I was
going
to say, back to that piece of paper that you said, but it's kind of common sense. Like, people say, yes, you might do what's listed on the paper, but you probably won't. Like, it's common sense that...
If I probably won't, I'm surprising God that you have tremendous theological problems.
Because, no, what I'm saying, my theory is this. Because if a friend tells you, let's say, somebody's doing something that they don't want you to do, some people are going to go against what they say. For instance, if your parents tell you, don't go here,
yeah.
you want to go there, let's say, it's a danger. Please,
for
example,
of
the Lion King.
I'm with you. Yeah. The truth is, I appreciate the movie much, but stick to that.
But my point is, short on time. My point is that somebody will go against what somebody, like if a parent has.
This is not God's commandment. This is God's predictions. Can someone go against God's predictions? If so, then what does it say about God's predictions?
For sure, you can. Like if
well,
that's
what
God's
predictions.
Let's say,
does God know the future? Then
what? He might know the future, but. But that's not to say that what if he does know the future, but you're doing totally opposite. The future can change, just like Mashiach can come any moment.
If the future can change, did God really know the definitive future? No, he knew of a possible future.
Right.
That's a major limitation to God's knowledge. A major limitation to God's knowledge.
One second,
hang on. Last thing, I'm going on to the Rambam. I want to make it for Maribon time.
Wait, why can't we do it apart from this?
Why don't we come to me?
We should do it about it.
Maybe I'll even make a Moshe Benavitz announcements afterwards. If you have not checked out your papers in, please get them in. You can no longer do laundry. Basketball team's better than TBI or any other camps. What are the other times?
They're
still
there. They lost Rob at the airport today.
Oh, right, we're done.
Right,
yeah, what's up, Rappish? Go.
And this might be the wrong answer, but maybe since God like is HaYahweh V'Yehyeh, you already made your determination. It wasn't predetermined. You made your determination, and God goes ahead. He sees what your determination was.
I hear, right? In other words, it's like reading a book or watching a movie, right?
Yeah.
In other words, you watch a movie, the guy in the movie, you watch it the second time, he thinks he has free, right? Problem is, if that's really the case, you don't really have free choice right now. You already made your choice.
You're
living a script.
No, Hashem, you already made your choice.
You don't really have free choice. That means you have no free choice.
For Hashem, you had free choice.
Rabbi right now have free choice? The answer is?
Yes.
Well then, no. What you were saying a second ago is, no, I don't have free choice. I'm reliving a script
I made all my choices.
Earlier on, right?
I made all my choices. Right?
So the one who made all your choices, he had free choice and God didn't know what he was going to do. But the now Rafi, God knows what he's going to do and he doesn't have free choice. I mean, you lost either way. Follow that? Okay. The fourth answer suggested, I'm not sure I have a handle on this either, and again, I feel bad, but the good news of teaching boys, when you teach girls, you walk out with like a lack of concrete, the girls go crazy. Well, Rabbi, which one is it? Like, it's on for me. I told you, in the beginning, I didn't know. I'm trying best to, you know, the answer is all four. I don't know. That's machlokas. I don't know how these things work. Go back to the machlokas. That's why I gave machlokas earlier on. The Rambam seems to indicate as follows. Being that we don't know, we don't know we can know. That's the Rambam's essential answer. The Rambam writes, the answer is greater than the sea. It's the biggest answer possible. The Rambam responds, well, why'd you ask the question? If you're just going to write the answer is bigger than the sea. What are you about doing over here? I think the Rambam, the Morris seems to get further than. In other words, we basically don't understand God, which is, again, what she talks to. The Rambam writes, there's nothing about God that the finite can understand. The finite cannot capture, cannot understand, cannot comprehend the infinite. And therefore, we cannot understand, comprehend, or understand
God.
That's the Rambam. So in other words, I'll even sharpen. I once had a discussion with Rabbi Sachs. He basically said to me as follows. He thinks it's the Rambam. These two Rambams link up. At the end of the day, there's a contradiction between, on one hand, me having free choice, and the other hand, something I don't understand, which is God's knowledge of the future. If people don't know what God's knowledge is, right? The finite can't grasp whether God is good, whether God is kind, whether God is omnibenevolent, omnipresent, omniscient, omni-anything. We don't understand anything about God. So the fact that God knows the future, we don't even know what that means. And therefore, how can you tell me something X? How can you tell me free choice contradicts X if I don't know what X is? And therefore, logically, you kind of curveballed your way out. But however, the two of us together, we had this conversation at Camp Morashah several years ago, we both pointed out together that, okay, that's really great when God knows it. When God told a Navi, and the Navi knew it, well, I know what it means for a Navi to know something. And I assume that once God told the Navi something, that's going to happen. That should restrict or limit my free choice. And subsequent to that conversation, I thought a little further, and I think the following is correct, although I'm not 100% sure. Requires more thought, it's tough to know. If man knows the future and God knows the future, again, those are not the same type of knowledge of the future. The question is, are they totally different, or is God's man's plus infinity? Meaning, infinity is not different from 4, it's just a lot higher. It's infinitely greater than 4, but it's not separate from 4. Or in other words, man's understanding of the future should not be separate from God's understanding, but should be a part of God's understanding, and God's is just infinitely greater.
What's the difference?
The difference would be, is if God's understanding of the future encompasses man's understanding of the future, well, now I understand what man's understanding is, and even though God's infinitely greater, as long as part of God's knowledge of the future contradicts free choice, I've returned back to my contradiction. You follow that? And at the end of the day, those are the 4 answers I have. None of them do I fully understand. Again, the Ralbag, which is a limitation of the future as well as a limitation of free choice. Number 2 is the Ran, a small limitation towards God's knowledge of the future in terms of practical, but in terms of theological and philosophical, a large one. The Balatanya, which is a very strong limitation. You have free choice to do whatever is predetermined for you. And number 4, which is, we don't know, however, it's still a contradiction, and we should know. Again, at the end of the day, I think the Ramban writes in Sefer Iyyob and the Hakdama, a person's obligated to believe in both. I believe in both. I think we have free choice. I think God also knows the future. I don't have it all worked out just yet, but Mitzvah Hashem, someone at the end of this conversation with all his hands up, will enlighten me. Let's go down, Mark.
Good.
You like this one out. Very good.